This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to start the program. A longtime friend of mine and a lot of friend of a lot of you out there is retiring. I didn't know much about it, but apparently my good buddy Dan Stoltz, coach over at Okemos High School, is retiring after 23 years. So let's bring in Dan and talk a little bit about his upcoming retirement. Dan, how you doing?
Good, Earl. How you doing?
Hey, doing good, and sort of sad to hear that you're going to retire. You've been a very good coach over there at Okemos for 23 years. You've had a more ups, I would say, than downs.
Well, thank you, Earl. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a real blessing to be in such a great school district, and we just had a lot of great kids and supportive people. It's been a great ride.
Yes, and I know you've met a lot of people, made a lot of friends, and a lot of good players have come through Okemos. Now, do you have some teams that, maybe they didn't equate or have the record that you thought they should have, or maybe they just didn't meet up to levels of expectations, or do you have most teams were what you thought they were?
Well, you usually have a pretty good idea. Sometimes it's just based on the competition as well and how good everybody else is. Our team this year was one of the better teams, really I've had, and yet the competition was so terrific in the area that it made it more difficult. Now, they're not the best team I've coached, but they're a very good one. And so sometimes, you go in and you always want to be optimistic, but yet I was never one that wanted to oversell and then underdeliver. I'd rather just say, let's see, and let's let things work themselves out, because there's a lot that can happen, and with team chemistry and attitudes and injuries, and there's just so many things. But it's been fun trying to get the most out of kids and trying to be competitive every week.
And especially in such a competitive division. I mean, that CAAC Blue division has been phenomenal, and it's been phenomenal over the years. You've had to compete against some of the very best teams and best players in the mid-Michigan area.
Well, yeah, the very first year we entered the CAAC Blue, nobody thought we would compete as well and all those things. And I was proud to say, that we were pretty darn competitive there. We won that conference quite a few times, but yet the very first year I came into it, we had Goran Thuton playing center for Everett and Al Horford playing center for Grand Ledge. I mean, two guys that went on to play major D1 basketball, and the kids at Holt went on to do the same. So it's been a star-studded league. There are a lot of Division I kids that come out of it, but that's what makes it exciting when you're playing at the very highest level and you know that if you can get through teams in your league or compete with them, then you can compete with anybody in the state.
Yes, you had some very good teams yourself with some very good high-caliber players who went on to play college ball for you. Now, did you have to coach or do anything a little bit differently for the star players, or did you just treat everybody the same, basically?
Well, you try to have the same expectations on a lot of things for them, but yet, we say this isn't an equal opportunity sport. It's not like baseball, where everybody gets to have one at bat before they're, you'll get to have your second at bat. We're going to try to utilize what we think are our strengths, and some people's strengths are defense and rebounding and setting screens, and some people's strengths are shooting, and some are driving to the rim, and we just tried to do what we thought was best for our team. And so I was not afraid to use my star players. I mean, my Travis Baters would go for 30-35 some nights, and not to get him his points, but in order to help our team win. And so we did what we thought we needed to do to win.
Yeah, Dan, you've so many kids, especially, they get it from their parents. I assume most of them do. They all think they can shoot, even though some of them can barely shoot or pick up a basketball, but they all think they can shoot, don't they?
Well, they can all shoot. They just can't all make. You know, I'm looking for the makers. And, yeah, everybody likes to shoot. And, hey, coach, I was open. And, yeah, there's a reason you were open. And, you know, they know enough not to guard you. And, you know, so it's something where you do have to try to define your roles and what's a good shot and what's not a particularly a good shot. And yet, you know, I didn't like to be yelling at kids once that was over about a shot, because I didn't want them second guessing, should I or shouldn't I shoot this? Because that's not the same rhythm that you would shoot if you think this is a shot I should shoot. And so, you know, it's a lot of psychology as well as teaching skills of basketball.
Yes. Now, I know you mentioned that you'll probably won't do much in the summer. What are your plans after basketball? Do you plan to do clinics and things like that, or stay involved in some way?
Well, I probably will. I mean, I love the sport. I love the game, you know, and I've loved working with the kids, and I've had great assistant coaches, and my wife has been fantastic, and my kids are supporting me and allowing me to do these things I enjoy. But, you know, I'm not exactly sure what the future is going to hold. You know, I'm doing some advisory work right now outside of basketball that's been challenging and exciting. I'm doing, you know, probably will work some camps this summer that people have asked me to come and speak or come work at. But I'm not planning on it, you know, being my entire life, that's for sure.
Okay. Now, are you still the golf coach over there at Okemos?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so will you continue coaching golf, or are you going to let that go too?
Well, that's something that, you know, I just evaluate everything season to season, and the plan is that I'm still doing that right now, and there's a lot less film to watch and a lot less, you know, yeah, coaching to do once the match starts, and it's a different pace. It's a whole different kind of deal, which is, you know, it's been nice in the spring and the fall to have golf, and I've enjoyed those kids as well. And you get a different kind of an athlete sometimes too, which is exciting. But you know, basketball has really been my passion as a player and as a coach. You know, watching my dad coach as a little kid. I mean, as I was his ball boy, and then grow up and play for your dad is a special treat. And then, you know, from there, then you come coach with them, and we win a state title, and then you move on and you take over for them. And I mean, it's really been a kind of a dream come true kind of a scenario for me. And I've just been very, very fortunate, feel very blessed that I was in this position.
Yes, it's been a wonderful ride for you, Dan. I know I've watched a lot of games out there at Okemos, and you've coached a lot of great games and had a lot of very good players for you. Now that you're retired, will you sit back and yell at the referees sometime?
I haven't in the past, so I don't think I should start now. So, yeah, no, it'll be enjoyable to see some of the terrific teams in the area play and be able to go down and watch Travis Pater play at Oakland and be able to, you know, just do some of those kind of things and go to the state games. You know, I'll miss it, but yet I think it's time. And it's time for somebody, you know, I wanted to give the next person time to get these guys in the summer and be able to work on whatever they need to work on and for them to evaluate, get to know what kind of kids they are and their personalities. So, you know, it'll be something I'll miss, but I'm always achieving.
And you know, today, because sports are so specialized today, well, we have kids, you know, just playing one sport year round. I know that over at Okemos, you try to encourage kids to play different sports. How did you all often, you know, rectify that for the kids who want to play football, basketball, or some of the other sports, or in the spring? Was that a difficult choice, or trying to help them make time for all the things they like to do?
Well, you know, I've always encouraged them. I don't want them to have regrets once they're out of high school. You know, this basketball didn't work out the way I wanted it to, and I quit playing this sport and that sport. And, you know, I think kids ought to be kids, and they ought to, you know, all these parents think that their kids are going to be D1 players. And you know what? Your kid's 5'9". He can't jump. He's not really that fast. Enjoy playing high school sports. Enjoy it, you know, I've always encouraged them to play everything they want to play, and we just share them with the coaches. You try to get with the other coaches and just say, hey, we've got these events going on these days. How about this? And if there's ever a conflict, we just figure out who's going to get them and not make it a difficult situation. And, you know, if kids sometimes choose to specialize, if they do, you know, then we've got things you can be working on, but never encourage that.
Okay. Yes, because that is always good to encourage the kids and give them the chance to play as many sports and do as many different things as they would like. It's unfortunate that today sports have become so specialized in our era. It wasn't that way, you know, years ago, but at least today now it's the more specialization in sports. But if kids want to do something else, at least, you know, they're encouraged to go out there and give it a try. And of course, I think that always helps expands their knowledge of sports and expand how they play all the other sports. When you use different muscles in your body, it certainly helps. I don't think there's any detriment to that, is it?
No, not at all. I think many times your best players have played, even if they aren't anymore, they've played other sports and have an understanding and court awareness or certain abilities to concentrate and focus and things they might have picked up in another sport. I mean, you know, it's just a valuable thing, I think, for those kids to be. And they're on other teams with other kids and other athletes and get other coaching. And, you know, the thing when you ask a kid to specialize, too, really you can create bad feelings between coaches in a high school, and that's not a good thing. I mean, it would be nice if you felt like all the coaches in your school district were all rooting for each other. And that's not always the case, unfortunately. You know, sometimes it gets a little bit tense. So, anyway. That's just a thing I would encourage them to continue to play whatever they want to do.
Yes, and Dan, you know, you've done such a great job over these 23 years, and I know I've talked to you after a lot of games, you know, and some games you're always very helpful and good talking with me after a game, but some games you would talk a lot more, and some games of course are very difficult. I know you probably remember all those. You probably remember the games that you lost probably more so than the ones that you won. I mean, you won 428 and only lost 99. I bet most of those 99 you probably remember more so than the 428 wins.
Well, it's kind of a warped coach's way of thinking, I think, and it's unfortunate that we do. But sometimes a win is like we checked it off the list. It's something mm-hmm. that we needed to do, and the losses kind of hurt. And, you know, I think as I got older, I gained more perspective on it and was able to understand a little bit more how things, you know, need to be in a perspective. And you're right. I mean, you remember the losses a little bit more sometimes, but there's some great wins we've had that just really stick out as well. So, you know, you just have to balance it and think about all the great kids you've had and you know, all the fun times we had. Win or lose, when you go to battle, it's exciting.
Oh, yes. Hey, Dan, I want to thank you for being with me today. It's a pleasure to talk with you after you've decided to hang them up. And hopefully you'll continue on and you'll continue on with the golf team and do that. And you'll probably be surprised at how nice and you'll be relaxed when you're going out to Michigan State or the high school games. I imagine I'll still see you over there at Okemos High rooting the teams on. But you'll be surprised at how relaxed you'll be and just watching the game and not having to make any decisions.
Well, are you trying to say I didn't look relaxed before? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, well, sometimes you were.
No, I appreciate all your great coverage, and you've always been a joy to work with, Earl, and you do a great job. So, you know, keep it up, and I know, I know you're going to be covering a lot more games, but that may end here sometime soon. So,
okay.
You know, we'll wish you best of luck when you retire, and we'll get out and play some golf or do something.
Okie dokie. Hey, thanks for being with me today, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Earl.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right, bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Dan Stoltz, the former coach at Okemos High School, now going to retire after 23 years on the sidelines of coaching basketball. And now we're going to change and talk a little bit more basketball, but we're going to talk a little bit more of the college and the pro game. But first, it's 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
A paralyzed woman can feed herself by controlling a robot with her mind. I'm Ira Flatow. This week on Science Friday, we'll talk about restoring movement after paralysis. Also, Elon Musk of SpaceX talks about space travel, Mars, and electric cars. Plus, this weekend's solar eclipse. It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday on Talk of the Nation, coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Our forecast today and through the weekend, a warm and sunny one. Sunny skies this afternoon with a high around 80 degrees. Then clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s. Sunny on Saturday, highs in the mid-80s, and just the same for Sunday. Sunny skies, mid-80s for the high. I'm Kevin Lavery.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or call us toll-free at 877-952-7870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, I'll tell you about a few events going on. We have Michigan State baseball today, 3 o'clock the Spartan Stadium. And then 7 o'clock tonight, the Lansing Lugnuts play Fort Wayne. And the Detroit Tigers play today, 7:05. They've got Pittsburgh coming in for one of the interconference games. So a lot of sports going on, a lot of baseball and things going on. And we're also going to talk some basketball with Coach Dwayne Stevens a little bit, and we'll do that a little bit later on. And also, I want to tell you about something happened in last night's game that I truly find amazing. And this was the game between the Los Angeles Clippers and the San Antonio Spurs. And I got to ask Dwayne when we get him on, I have to ask him this, because how can someone who's as good as Blake Griffin played 37 minutes and only got one rebound? How can Blake Griffin play 37 minutes and only get one rebound? I find that truly amazing for a power forward to get one rebound in 37 minutes. And I wonder what Dwayne, what he would say. How can a player not get that I don't know why he didn't do it, but for some reason, it didn't happen for him last night. San Antonio now is up 2-0 over the Los Angeles Clippers. And so it really looks like the Clippers are going down. They don't have much of a chance in that series. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. As you know, the Big Ten ACC Challenge, that takes place on November 27th and November 28th. And those are be some good games for you. Michigan State will play Miami, of course, in the Big Ten ACC Challenge is one of the games. But it's always entertaining. I don't know what it means, in all honesty. It just gives you a chance to play a quality team early in the season. But how much does that help you or don't help you? I don't know how much that really adds, but it's a good quality game, and you get a chance to sort of measure your team, because it happens at the end of November, and you get a chance to going into December, and then January, you get a chance to see about the team and see what your team is doing or where they're at that time. Right now, let's check with Tom in Lansing. Tom, how you doing?
How are you doing today, brother?
Okay.
Hey, I got a question for you. You may want to bounce this off of Dwayne. Did you say Dwayne Stevens was going to be on?
Yep, I hope to get him on.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to get your opinion on Jared Sullinger. They're looking at him as a possible Pistons draftee. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he's the guy the Pistons are looking for, but I'd like to hear your opinion of Jared Sullinger and his transition to the NBA game. And two old Spartans, I'm curious to know if you know what's happening with. One is John Miller. He was one of my favorite MSU players. He was a safety, I think maybe back in the Perlis days. Maybe
yeah, I think so. Back. Right, I think he
was. And the other player is Otis Wiley, who at one time was supposed to go to the Lions, and then he just disappeared. So I'm going to see if you can answer those questions, and I'll take them off the air.
Okay, thank you. Well, I don't know. Haven't heard too much about Otis Wiley, that's for sure. Haven't heard about him. John Miller, he's working somewhere. I don't know exactly what he's doing right now, But I understand he's employed. And Otis Wiley, that's a good question. I wonder what he's doing myself. I haven't heard about Otis Wiley. And so hopefully we'll get Dwayne on and we can talk about the players. And I sort of want to ask him where he thinks Draymond Green's going to go in the draft. I mean, it's being projected that he's going to go between 20 and 30. Like to see, you know, what happens if he gets up in the first round. Does he have the potential to be an early first round pick at all, or is it basically just going to be in the later round? And if he goes late in the first round, that means he's going to a good team. So he'd be drafted by a good team and have a very good situation. Maybe can help a team out some ways if he goes in the lower part of the first round. So we'll see how that goes for Draymond in the draft coming up in the end of June. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Don't forget, on Monday, the Diamond Classic starts. The Capital Diamond Classic starts down at Olds Park, and that'll be starting up on Monday, 5:30. So it would be some very good high school baseball for you to go see and check out. You know, it's some baseball that you don't want to check out, and that's the Detroit Tigers. They've been very disappointing. Just lost a two-game series to Minnesota. And I don't know. I don't know. I'm gonna have to ask you, Aaron. What do you make of the Tigers? What do you, I mean, they keep one, lose one, and then they just lost two in a row. I mean, I don't. It's hard for me to figure out what the heck's going on there.
Yeah, I their record's 18-20 now, so that you know, they're below 500, which is not good, and they're 9-11 at home, which is usually they're pretty good at home.
Yes.
But, man, I don't know. Yesterday, obviously, was a 4-3 loss to the Twins. Hopefully, they got, the Pirates tonight, right?
Yep.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, yesterday, who was it? Pfister was pitching. I mean, he had an ER of 3. You know, he gave up 3 runs, which, you know, that's not bad. And then Coke came in, and so did Foyce. Valeri, I forgot how to pronounce his name. Yeah.
But they're not hitting.
Yeah, they're not hitting. I saw... you know, Kelly was playing center field yesterday, and Santiago came in at one time. Yeah, I mean, they just didn't have any hits going on. So, you know, they had, what, 3-4 hits yesterday. I mean, you know, that's about it. So, yeah, if they're not hitting any balls, I mean, I don't know what you can do about that. You're not going to produce any runs there.
Yeah, that's for sure, and the lack of production there has been a little bit surprising, especially with all the firepower they've got. You definitely think they would be doing a little bit better by now. You're a quarter of the way through the season.
Right, exactly, and it looks like looking at the stats here, you know, Bosch had a home run, so did Dierks, and so did Fielder, and there's your 3 runs right there. I mean, if you're just going to hit home runs, you're not going to win games.
No. You got it. The base dealers have to get on base. Some sooner or later, they've got to get on base and contribute to the winning. And that's the thing. They've got to get that. You know, the base dealers or setters have got to get on base a little bit more than what they have been thus far.
Right. Exactly. And we've seen it in games that's happened. So, I mean, you know, it's they can do it. They have the potential to do it. So I don't know if they're just still not waking up yet or woken up yet. I don't know if Leland is thinking they'll just come out of it, but maybe he should try something a little bit here to, you know, to change things up, because frankly it's getting a little too much here. And you know, they're getting into the games that really count, especially early on in the season here.
Let's see. I just got a call. You probably heard my cell phone go off. Those things happen from time to time. But give Dwayne a call again. And let me see. I'm putting up the number he called me at here, and we can get him on. So let me see. 3. Yep. Okay. Yeah, that's the right one. And we'll get Dwayne Stevens on and talk a little basketball with Dwayne and talk about how Draymond should do it during the draft. But I hope he heard me that when I said Blake Griffin only got 1 rebound last night. So let's bring in Dwayne Stevens. Dwayne, how you doing, my man?
What's happening, Earl? You all right?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. Hey, did you hear me? How can Blake Griffin get 1 rebound in only 37 minutes of play?
Well, I think there's no doubt about it that his knee is bothering him. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a guy that plays with a high energy and a high motor, and for him to have one rebound, as athletic as he is, I'd say that there's got to be something more to the knee thing.
Yeah, and it's funny how Tim Duncan is looking so good. I mean, Tim Duncan's been around forever, and he's playing great right now. And it looks – I would have never – given at the beginning of this, I would have never given the season. I would have never given the thought that San Antonio would be here at the end and has a great chance to get to the finals. And yet, here we are, San Antonio. Greg Popovich has done a great job. It looks like they're probably going to – they could sweep the Clippers right out, who's a team on the up. But, apparently they're not ready yet.
You know what? There's something to be said for experience. And those guys have some guys that on their team, and Duncan and Parker and Ginobili, that have won championships. And as they say, there's nothing like the heart of a champion. But I've been watching Duncan, and I want to start the movement to get him put on the Olympic team. They were looking for a center. Maybe play for us.
Yeah, because Duncan is playing phenomenally. About 35 years old, and he's still able to get up down the court. He's getting make sure he gets enough rest these days. But he is truly a phenomenal athlete and one of the best centers of our generation, because he got lost in the shuffle behind of Jordan and those group players that came out during that time. But he's been very consistent over the years.
No doubt about it. You know, he's played at a high level for a very long time, and, I think he's surprising a lot of people. But he's what they call a pro's pro. He's probably taking really good care of his body, and he rests and not hanging out and doing some of the stuff that the younger guys do, and he's been able to lengthen his career because of it.
Yes. Now, when we look ahead to the draft, we know Draymond Green is going to go in the draft. I mean, he's been projected to go in between 20 and 30. Do you see any way that he might go higher than that, maybe to one of the better teams? Because if he does go between 20 and 30, that means he'll be going to a very good team in the draft. Or do you see him just being stuck there, or does he have a chance to go higher in the draft?
Well, you never know. Maybe he goes into a workout and a team falls in love with him, and then he can move up that way. I think with Draymond, you know what you're getting. You're going to get a kid with a very high IQ that loves to play basketball, and he's going to be an asset to whatever team he goes to. What we're trying to tell him is don't get caught up in where you go. You want to make sure that you're in a good organization and that you're going to have an opportunity to get better and possibly learn. You know, when you go to one of the better teams, you're not relied on the play right away. And he can, learn some things and maybe learn from some of the vets and learn the game and not be counted on the play right away, which I don't think at that level is a bad thing. I think there's a lot of guys that have kind of paid their dues and sat there and learned from a vet and then went on to have great careers. And I think Draymond could be in that mold.
Yeah, that's sort of odd there to Wayne, because, we've watched a lot of basketball over the years, and he's certainly been one of the better basketball players here at Michigan State. That so many guys, when they get that chance, they think they can do it, or they think they know they're ready, and yet there's still so much more basketball there is to learn, isn't there?
No, there's a learning curve. The NBA game is a lot different from the college game. One, you got a shorter shot clock. There's more isolations and one-on-one. Where in college, there's more help. But I think when you look at some of the better defensive teams in the NBA, I think those are the kind of teams that would appreciate the things that Draymond can do, because Draymond has that knack for being able to see the next play before it happens. And I think he'd be an asset from that standpoint. Obviously, he's got to continue to work on his perimeter shot. I think once he gets to the point where he's knocking down that NBA three at a high percentage and on a consistent basis, he can really help out from that standpoint as well.
Yes, and that's the thing. When you can get to that level, he gets to that point. That would really be good. When you look at Draymond overall, and you add together his pluses and minuses. Obviously, I think the pluses far outweigh the minuses. But you know, NBA scouts, they always have a tendency to look at what a player can't do than what a player can do. Do you see there any way that does he have the kind of negatives that will hold him back, or you say he's pretty good just about in everything he does?
You know, I think the one thing that a lot of people are going to say is that as a poor man, he's not maybe as tall as you'd like your poor man to be. Mm-hmm. But I think he's proven over a long period of time that he can rebound and defend bigger players. He's very strong. He has a 7'1" wingspan, and I think that's what kind of helps him be the rebounder that he is. And then, you know, he's a better athlete than he gets credit for. I don't think people can appreciate how athletic he was and some of the plays that he could make. I think with Draymond, everybody knows what they're getting. They're getting a four-year kid that improved every year over his career. And he's a system and team guy, and he'll be a great locker room guy. And I think whatever team drafts him, they're going to be lucky to have him in their organization.
Dwayne, when you look at kids over the years, you know, a lot of times we can look back and say, gee, if this kid had did this or did that, it would have really helped him out. And then so many kids just don't make the right choices or the right decisions. Can you even speculate on why so many kids don't do the right things or the things that they should do, and they try not to do them or do something else that won't help their career?
You know, it's funny. I think the times are changing. I think it's changed a lot in the last 5 years. I think that these kids have so much pressure on them from home and from, you know, friends and family that and then they're hearing a lot of different things. They got a lot of different people in their ears. You know, when I was coming up, you know, my parents said, hey, drop me off, and I was kind of on my own from there, and I depended on the coaches to help me find my way. I think now, you know, parents are dropping their kids off, and then they're trying to live through their kids and then map out what's supposed to happen for them, and kids never really get a chance to be off on their own and depend on the staffs as much, because they're hearing so much different stuff from home and from families and friends. I think that's the biggest difference. There's a lot of distractions with the kids these days, because they got a lot of people trying to hang on to them and maybe try to make a buck off of them. And, you know, for a 17, 18, you know, 19-year-old kid, that's a lot to deal with if you're not a mentally tough kid.
Yes, and when you look at the teams this year, the Spartan team this year, how do you see them? It's going to be a very young team. There's only one senior on the team. This is going to be a very young team. You've got three very good players coming in, and I know you can't tell right now how much they'll contribute or anything like that, but this is going to be a challenge of having such a very young team.
Yeah, we have four very good players coming in.
Yeah.
You know, we got Kenny Kaminsky, poor man. They can step out and really shoot the ball. You got Matt Costello from Bay City that's a bruiser and a real physical player, but he can step out and shoot a little bit as well. And then you got a big-time athlete and Gary Harris. I think he's going to be phenomenal for us. You know, he can do a lot of things. He's a Shannon Brown, Maurice Ager type, but he's probably a little stronger than maybe those guys were at the same age. And then Denzel Valentine is a kid that I don't think gets enough credit for what he's done over his high school career. All the kid's done is gotten better and win. You know, he kind of reminds me of Draymond. A local kid, I'm sure he'll be a fan favorite. And, you know, his dad played at Michigan State, and he probably live, eat, and sleeps, but, you know, Michigan State. And those are the kind of kids we love to have. So I think we got a great group coming in. I think our returners have had an unbelievable spring, and they started off their summer pretty good. You know, we got those guys taking some classes right now, and I know those guys are living in the gym. And, you know, we got Keith and Travis and Brandon Kearney all trying to gain weight. We're trying to get Nick to where he can, you know, we'd like to get him down to 260, where we don't even have to worry about his weight. And I think he'll be even more nimble than he was this year. And I think that he'll give himself a chance to make a lot of money, you know, after college, if he can get his weight down, keep it there, and be a consistent contributor on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. Well, before I let you go, let's look over some of these NBA playoffs. How do you look at this Boston-Philadelphia matchup? I mean, looks like Philly's hanging in there, but the Boston's up 2-1 right now.
You know what? I think that series has been kind of funny because, in my mind, Philadelphia's kind of dominated all three games at certain points. And, you know, Celtics find a way to get a couple. And I think that Boston is the same as the Spurs. You know, those guys have been there before. They're experienced guys. And if they can keep it close, they know how to win close games. And I think the 76ers are a lot like the Clippers, and, you know, they got the youth and haven't been there before, and, you know, it's hard to deal with those pressure-type situations, and unless you've been there and you've learned from, you know, past experiences, it's tough to close out games, and I think that's what both the Clippers and 76ers are running into.
And what about?
I like, you know what? I didn't think the old legs of the Celtics could hold up, but now after watching that last game, I think the Celtics are going to pull that series out. I think Doc Rivers is the best coach, one of the best in the NBA.
Oh, I would agree with that. That's for sure. How about Miami and Indiana? I mean, Indiana's definitely stepping up and surprising. Of course, it hurt Miami that they lost the big guy. They lost Chris Bosh, but do you think that Stevens? I mean that the other Dwayne and the other stars, the two stars, can pull it out for Miami?
You know what? It's a weird series. You know, it's funny. Everyone in the first series, LeBron was unbelievable in the fourth quarter, and no one kind of gave him credit for it. And, you know, he has a rough fourth quarter last game. Or not this past game, but the second game of the series. And, you know, it was back to he didn't know how to finish, doesn't know how to close out. And, I mean, he's the best player in the world right now. And, you know, Dwayne Wade, I think, is a very good player. And, obviously, you know, I have my heart is with him and his team, having coached him. But I think that when Chris Bosh went down, I think they're still trying to figure out how to play without him. I think the Heat's talent will win out in some way, shape, or form. And at the end of that series, those guys have kind of been there before, and Indiana's a new team. But I think that series will go seven games. And, you know, if the Heat can pull one out, I like that.
Okay. Well, what about Oklahoma City and the Lakers? That's the old guard and the new young guys coming up. Oklahoma City's on the way up. And the Lakers, some people are trying to say they're on the downside of their swing. But, you know, Kobe's trying to get back to one more. So how do you look at that Oklahoma City Lakers game?
You know, it's funny, you know, watching Kobe, who a lot of people compare to Jordan. And I think that the comparisons are warranted. I think that you can see him losing a step, you know, right before our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Not as explosive. You know, there's been a couple times where he beat his man off the dribble, and, you know, I'm expecting to see him go up and kind of tomahawk one over a guy, and he just doesn't have that explosiveness that he had a couple years ago. And then, you know, when he has to try to do everything on his own, I think it that's tough because Oklahoma City is very talented. I think they pose a lot of matchup problems for the Lakers, where the Lakers' size, you know, the Lakers are trying to win it with their size. I think the Oklahoma's winning it with their speed, quickness, and athletic ability. And, you know, over the series, I don't see the Lakers beating Oklahoma City.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Dwayne. Always a pleasure talking with you, giving us an update on the Spartans and a look ahead at the playoffs. And we may get together and talk about the playoffs before when they get to the championship game. We'll see who it'll be. Do you think it's going to be San Antonio and Oklahoma City on that side? And on the other side, do you think it might be Miami? Or I don't know if Miami's going to get past Indiana. Or it might be Boston again. Like you say, it could be Boston playing for the championship.
Yeah, I think it'll be Boston and the Heat and the Spurs and Oklahoma City.
Okay. Hey, Dwayne, thanks for giving me a call. Appreciate it, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, y'all.
Take care. Okay, take care. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Dwayne Stevens, MSU assistant basketball coach, right here on AM 870 WKAR. 46 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Instead of buying supermarket veggies from another hemisphere, how about farming on city rooftops instead? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at urban agriculture and the joy of eating your garden weeds, plus the strange science of scratching. All on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday on Talk of the Nation right here on AM 870 WKAR. It's coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Lavery. The forecast for the rest of the afternoon, sunny skies with a high around 80 degrees. Then clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s. A couple of nice days for the weekend, sunny on Saturday, highs in the mid-80s. And again on Sunday, sunny skies, same temperatures, highs in the mid-80s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, the Spartan Fantasy Football Camp comes up next month, June 11th and 12th. If you would like to go to this fantasy camp, give Dino Foligno a call at 432-5576 or 285-9356 or send him an email at Foligno@ATH.MSU.edu. That's Foligno, F-O-L-I-N-O, ATH.MSU.edu. And you can get registered for the MSU Fantasy Football Camp. That's taking place on June 11th and 12th. And Aaron, you know, we've got a lot of Michigan State's holding their last baseball game, three-game series today, over this weekend, that is. They lost to Penn State yesterday. They've got them today and tomorrow. I saw one field of 64 had Michigan State making the field of 64 as an at-large team. It'd be surprised. I mean, if they can win the Big Ten tournament, they'd get that automatic bid, of course. But other than that, they might make the NC2A tournament as an at-large team.
Yeah, I mean, they can't have really any slip-ups at all. So, you know, if they can, I mean, if they win the Big Ten tournament, that's a pretty good bet they'll get in. But, yeah, I mean, the best bet is just to continue to win, not have any losses. They can't have any slip-ups. And it's just kind of weird to think that they're ending the season here coming up, you know. And it's like, wait, it's not even summer yet. So, yeah. They can't have any slip-ups, and they just got to continue to win. I mean, it's pretty simple there.
Yeah, and baseball, it's a weird sport. And college baseball is weird because the season just getting started in summer. It's not even warm yet. It just gets slowly getting better. And that's the thing with baseball. The season is over before it even really gets warm. And that's the one thing I know that the coaches up here in this area are trying to rectify that. I don't know if they can get it through the NC2A committee. They've certainly been trying, though, for a lot of years.
Yeah, and that's a problem because, you know, it's a Southern sport, unfortunately. I mean, that's how it's looked at, is, you know, they play, that's the reason that they play during this time. And it's weird because, you know, a lot of kids growing up, you know, they play baseball during the summer, and then high school, and then they go to college, and it's completely different. And then you go, if you're lucky enough to make it to the majors, then it's a completely different schedule. So baseball is one of those weird sports where your schedule, depending on what level you're actually playing, is going to be completely different from the next level to the next. So, that's just how it is. And I would love to see it if they could change it, but I'm in agreement. I I doubt that's something that's ever going to happen. That, you know, it's just there's just too many teams involved and too many teams in the South that, you know, it's always warm down there, so yes, they can play during that time. And it's unfortunate for teams like Michigan State or even teams in here in the North more. But, you know, I think they'll try it, but I don't think they'll really get anywhere with it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to get through all those committees because the Southern teams have such a stronghold in the sport of baseball. And they do draw well, too. That helps a lot. They draw well, and they have a lot of powerhouses down there. So it's hard to get them to think that they might acquiesce to give the Midwestern teams a little bit more of a play or a drive. Because, no, they don't want the Midwestern teams to win any College World Series. That would hurt their track record and everything. So I don't think they'll do that. But, you know, it would be interesting to somehow if they could get some kind of changes or some kind of response from them, or see if they could. I don't think they will. But yeah, I'm like you. I don't think they'll be able to see any kind of changes. That's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Tim Stout and I will be recording our final Sunday show coming up this week on sports on Channel 10, WILX TV. You can watch that program at 11 o'clock on Sunday afternoon with Tim Stout and I at the final show of the year coming up this Sunday. So you can do that. Check us out on the Sunday Stout on Sports, 11 o'clock Sunday morning, right there on Channel 10, WILX TV. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us. And as you know, so many things going on right now. We've got the hockey playoffs. Can you believe how the Los Angeles Kings are so well? I mean, they are playing amazingly great hockey.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen a team play this well in quite a while, to be honest with you. They're up 3-0 against the Phoenix Coyotes. I mean, they're going to win that series, not a problem, make it to the finals. And
they were an 8th seed.
Yeah, they're an 8th seed, which is, I think, a testament to how great hockey really is the fact that, you know, unlike, you know, I know the NBA playoffs this year have been a little bit different just because I think the season overall was a little, you know, obviously was shorter. So I think it's kind of, you know, there's been a misconception for the playoffs for a little bit. But hockey's one of those sports where it doesn't matter if you're a 1 or an 8 seed, you can win. And the Kings, I mean, they have so many talented players. Obviously, you got to have a great goalie, which they do, and Quick. But, you know, it's an amazing team. And then on the other side, you got the Rangers and the Devils, which are tied at 1-1, which, you know, either way, you know, it's going to be basically the East versus the West, you know, as far as travel is concerned, which is one thing I would love, you know, be interesting to see. Obviously, L.A. or New York or the Devils, that's a lot of traveling to do, especially in the playoffs.
Oh, for sure. But that's what makes playoff hockey is so interesting. And the thing is, as we've said, and I know I've said it often, all you get in the playoffs, all you want to do is get in, because you've got a great chance, no matter what your seed is, you've got a great chance to at least make it to the finals in hockey. And we see that year in and year out. A lot of times it can be a 3-4 or anywhere down from one. Very rarely, I don't think it's been a time when we've seen 4 number one seeds get there. But you know, you certainly have a chance in the sport of hockey to get to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I don't know what the statistics are for, you know, number 8 seeds getting to the finals, but I'm sure it's not exactly high. But you know, it's definitely in hockey, that's just the way it is. You know, players can step up, you know, because you can change your lines up, you can change certain things. In other sports, you know, it's not like the NFL, you're going to say, oh, hey, the third string guy, go out there and perform. That, you know, that's not going to happen. If their first string guy isn't performing, there's nothing you can do about it. But in hockey, you can change players up that might mix well with each other. And, you know, obviously, if a goalie gets hot and continues to play well, I mean, that's just tremendous stuff that happened during the playoffs. And, you know, obviously you have 7 games of the, you know, win the series, so that helps as well, too, unlike, you know, football or something like that.
Yes, and one sport we haven't talked about a lot around here is been golf, of course. And, you know, as we know, Tiger Woods has been struggling still. He's still struggling. But there are so many good young golfers out there. I think myself and a lot of other people in this business will start having to pay more attention to these young golfers who are very good, very exciting, and, boy, they drive it a long, long way.
Yeah, they do. I mean, right now, you know, this weekend we got the H.P. Bryan Nissan Championship, or I'm not sure if it's Nissan or not, but you know, someone that's on the leaderboard right now, Matt Kuchar. I mean, he's a young guy that's been performing, getting better all the time too. And then you got I forgot the two guys' names that are really, really young, that are even younger than me, making playing professional golf. Which, you know, there's a lot of young guys and that are being more consistent. I think when Tiger was really in his game, I think a lot of players just, you know, there was sort of that fear factor, which they don't have that against him anymore. That's completely gone. So, you know, these players, when Woods is in these tournaments with these other players, they don't fear him anymore. So they're more consistent more often now, I think, which, you know, we have to pay attention to, which I think you're starting to see. You know, I'll watch tournaments on TV and you'll see the fans really react and get excited for some of these other players other than Tiger Woods, which is great to see because that's what the sport needs. They don't, yes. You know, unfortunately, they had to rely on Tiger Woods for so long. And I think we're slowly starting to see a shift to that. I think people still, you know, want to see Tiger Woods win and all that good stuff. But you're starting to see more people take on, you know, get, you know, liking other players, which is good to see.
Yeah, a lot of fans are getting behind some of the other players out there on the tour who have a chance to win or have won some tournaments. They're getting a lot more accolades these days. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Well, one thing we can talk about, we know next month, a lot of football camps will be opening up, and we're going to be talking a lot more football coming up probably near the end of the month of June, and we'll see that. And that's the thing. There's still a lot of, you know, as much criticism as football is getting, it's still the number one sport in America, and I don't see that, being downplayed or anything now, but because it's still a popular game. And do you see that anyway, that football might lose a little bit of its popularity because of all the concussions and other things that have been going on?
No, I don't. I think everyone wants to have, you know, safety obviously is very important, but when it comes down to it, with the way things are nowadays with social media and the internet and people being able to interact with the sports without even going to the game or, you know, things like that, I think it's going to continue to be the number one sport. Sundays, the ratings are high as ever. You know, it's just, people go out and have fun. You know, if you go out to the bar, they got like 40 TVs playing, you know, all the different games. So, you know, it's still popular. I think it's going to continue to get popular. And I don't think anything like the concussion thing is really going to hold anyone back from it. Because really that comes down to, the personnel and the players and the teams. That really doesn't. I don't really think that affects the fans. I don't think that's going to say, hey, I'm not going to watch football because you guys aren't, you know, doing more about the concussions, which they are doing more. But I don't think that's going to affect any of the popularity of the game at all.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because the game has gotten so popular, and I like you. I don't see it affecting it. Just that maybe some aspects of the game people may may not want to watch it for some time or some aspects. But I think it's still going to be popular. It's still going to hold our attention for the most part. I mean, football, really, I can say, when I watch a whole sporting event, that's about the only whole sporting event I'll watch from beginning to end.
Yeah. I mean, I do like a good football game. I mean, I can watch a hockey game from, you know, beginning to end. Baseball, it's a little tough to sit there the whole time. But, maybe the kickoffs, maybe people aren't watching those anymore because they're kind of useless anymore now that they changed the rule. But I'm looking forward to the mini camps and looking forward to starting the season off.
Okay. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you for the few folks that called. You can come back and join us on Monday right here on AM 870 WKAR. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up and talk sports with us right here on AM 870. So have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I'll see you on Sunday on Channel 10, WILX TV, Channel 10 with Tim Stout, and join us on Sunday morning. Have a safe and pleasant evening, everyone. We'll see you on Monday right here on WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.